It's our Wide Open Road, the Rosie on the House Arizona Hour with Sanderson Ford.
Oh, I love Lucy.
It's the Gillicuddy.
Growing up in New River, that was at noon. Taking a break from school, we got to watch I Love Lucy and then Andy Griffith.
And Little House on the Prairie, of course.
And y'all would record it on VCR recorders. And when I got home that night, we'd all sit down and y'all would watch them again. That was great.
Well, you can see her now in color on the big screen.
Oh, boy.
Tuesday, 7 o'clock at 600 movie locations throughout America, 9 in the Phoenix area, 3 in Tucson, 3 in Flagstaff, 3 in Prescott. They're playing Lucy Does a Commercial, the Vita Vita Vegemin you just heard, Job Switching, Million Dollar Idea, Pioneer Woman, and L.A. at Last, in color as part of her 108th birthday. That's this Tuesday. You can go to fathomevents.com to find the one closest to you. And you know, the funny thing is,
we got to find that, Jennifer.
Absolutely. That? I would love to see it colorized.
Yeah. The I Love Lucy, and I randomly turned on frogs marching up. Red Skelton from 1952 the other night. And all the kids are like, I'm like, fine, pick something else. Nobody changed the channel. They watch Red Skelton for an hour. From 1952, I'm like, guys, T. Pear wasn't even born yet when this was.
That was good stuff.
That was great stuff. We're here in studio this morning with special friend Don Ryden, architect and author of a book, Mid-Century Marvels, and Don recently made a presentation at the Preservation Society annual conference on another architect here in town, Michael Goodwin, he and his dad designed many of the buildings at the ASU campus. Did you say 60 of the buildings were originally good ones? And then he did the upside-down pyramid at Tempe Town Hall. And then for another city, he took that pyramid and flipped it right side up.
Exactly. For equally good reasons, he used the regular shape of a pyramid for the town hall for Paradise Valley.
And I mentioned I'd never been in the Tempe town hall, but boy, I feel like I could move my second address to the Paradise Valley town hall. That's a cool building.
Oh, it's beautiful. They were trying to figure out how in the world to express the essence of the town of Paradise Valley. And Michael Goodwin came up with the idea that he would want to have a building that served as the living room for the community, a place away from the sun where he could express natural materials in a simple way. So he finally came up with focusing on the idea of a building symbolically growing out of the ground to a peak with earth berms around it. He dug it into the ground, and he put a cooling fountain in front of it and basically tried to create a home or a living room or a focal point for a community that's 99% houses. So it's very residential in scale.
I'm glad Paradise Valley picked that era of time to do a building that typified Paradise Valley. Because if they did it today, they would just throw some big McMansion piece of junk up there.
That's true. Well, he kept it very simple.
It's a great building.
Oh, yeah. It truly is. And it does reflect the residential image and even the shapes of the mountains that surround the valleys.
So you take Tempe's upside-down pyramid, turn it right side up, and bury it, and then bring an earthbound perimeter around it. What's more geothermally stable than 6 feet of dirt?
That's exactly right. So what he was doing was using ancient Arizona technology for a modern building. It's really based on the idea of a Hohokam pit house which was dug into the ground a couple of feet, and then sticks and twigs and branches and beams put on top, covered with mud, for a bunker below and a bower above. So just in that same manner, he was following the indigenous method of construction.
Well, Don, I'd like to segue just a little bit for listeners. We're talking about Michael Goodwin, a very prominent, he with his dad Kemper, very prominent architect in Arizona through the 60s and the 70s. And a big part of their success was understanding the desire and needs of the owner. And in my one semester of pre-architecture school, before George Christensen said, "Rosie, you'd make a great engineer." But you can't design your way out of a paper bag. Go to engineering school. So I did. But in the one class, and I cannot remember the teacher's name, but you would know him. He was talking about the art and the science and the need of accurate programming.
Oh, yes.
And Don, I've seen you at work. And again, you're a master at programming. We did one laundry room, Romy, where he interviewed the client for 2.5 hours for a room that was 6 foot by 9 foot. But it was the most incredible laundry room we've ever done.
It was like industrial engineering.
It was.
The family had, what, 3 kids?
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
like that. And time was of the essence for the mom. And so we actually kind of reverse engineered how she worked in the laundry. And so it was actually a kind of like a factory assembly line in how a laundry room actually works. So we just lined it all up to be efficient. Each kid had a bin to put their clothes in. And
I've never seen so much thought go into a laundry room in my life. I was overwhelmed. But programming, let's talk about that, the importance of it.
The design that you come up with is only as good as the information that you gain from your client, and it's the architect's responsibility to be a very good listener and then to be able to feed back to the owner. This is what I hear. This is what I understand. Here's a little bit of my experience thrown in. And make sure that you know what the rules of the game are before you start using your imagination and are influenced then by the site. In the case of a remodel, what's the room size? What's the utilities like? And even for a simple laundry room, it can be quite a challenge.
Well, That home, I believe, had been built in the 50s, if I remember right.
Yes, it was a ranch-style house.
We had to move the electric panel, and there were a lot of things involved. But I thought that we were an hour and a half into the meeting, and I thought, well, he can't possibly have any more questions about this laundry room. And we could have probably gone another hour.
Oh, I'm sure we could have, but that would have been wasteful of our time and theirs. But
I mean,
this
the information
laundry
you
room
got out
was
of her.
So important to the way this family operated, and the use of time was so special to them. We wanted to make sure that this was something that we could respond to, and that was their focus.
And talk to a homeowner that may be on the front end of a project. How does he know he has the right architect? Asking the right questions.
I think it's a matter of interviewing architects before you begin to find someone simply that you're comfortable with. First, you find out what their experience is, of course, and what some of the past successes they've had with a particular building type. Or if you have something unusual that you're doing that maybe nobody's ever done that particular project before, find somebody whose experience has touched on the aspects of your particular project. So all the time we end up doing some kind of a matrix or a chart for somebody that said, here are the 12 projects that we've done. that touch upon every one of the criteria that you have in your new weird one-of-a-kind projects. And so that's the way we prove to a client that we have the imagination, creativity, and the experience of solving their problem, not only with substance, but also with style.
And we've talked about the iconic buildings of the Goodwins, but you yourself have some beautiful, beautiful products right here in the Valley. I mean, just the McFarland Memorial at the Capitol Building.
Well, that
and
is.
And the amount of thought that went into that, it was unbelievable.
That's true. That's one of those projects that you get once in a lifetime, to do a memorial on the Capitol Mall to a great Arizona, great American, Ernest W. McFarland, who was our senator, governor, and chief justice of our Supreme Court, and to tell a story in concrete and steel of this man's work for Arizona and America through the GI Bill. And so if you go down to the Capitol, you will see how we interpreted the man's life in landscape architecture and reflected the memories of his works and his love for his family. His grandchildren were our clients, not the state of Arizona.
Oh, wow.
This was their gift to Arizona, the grandkids of Ernest McFarland. And so we listened to them. We integrated a historian, builders, landscape architects, lots of experts in special concrete, because we wanted this memorial to last for 200 years, and I dare say that it will.
Oh, it's a fabulous project. And we've been talking here with Don Ryden, architect. Don, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
Very simply, you can give us a telephone call at 602-253-5381, or just drop me an email, don@rydenarchitects.com.
And you office in a beautiful old historic home at McDowell and
9th Avenue in McDowell.
It's neat house.
1929 two-story adobe house.
I always see that, and then I go across farther down McDowell, and you come to the fairgrounds, and you think, man, you think they could clean this up to make it look as good as Don's place? Maybe they should just hire the guy right down the road to help them clean up the fairgrounds a little.
Now, I didn't ask you to say that because you didn't even know they actually have.
They have.
We are working with the Arizona State Fair right now.
Trying to save the old Ag building?
Well, to save the historic buildings and to present a much better character
Good.
To the outside world and
Good.
To make it more efficient and resilient. And
I will be its biggest fan. We have spent so many hours down there, and I'm always so, you just come away just feeling exhausted because it's just,
you know what
is
wreck. Funny though? What's the style technique that they use to frame the roof of the Ag building? Because every time I'm down there,
you've
for
sent
an
me
auction,
a picture of that. Yeah.
I just kind of get dazed staring at the roofing structure. Thing. That's some pretty good carpentry work.
That's amazing. When you look up into the rooftops of the vaulted, the curved roof of the cow barns, you see diamond shaped framing. That's called a lamella roof. And that was a very popular way of doing free spans back in the 1930s.
Wow.
That was a WPA building. It's made of adobe and set in a concrete frame and covered with a lamella wooden arched roof.
That's cool. Who else could you have in studio that could tell you that, right? But only Don Ryden would know that. We really appreciate you coming in this morning. Maricopa is the fastest growing county in America. I think we're due for an update of our county fairgrounds.